Let us pray. Powerful God, you work miracles before the eyes of your disciples, and often even they become lost in disbelief. Speak to us through your text this day. Show us how you continue to work miracles through your people. Amen. So, there's an old saying about power. It's been around since around the 1800s, but it's one that would seem to be just as true at any point in human history. Does anybody know what it is? There's a clue in the bulletin. What's that saying? That's right. I think we've all heard that before, right? Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. We use this phrase when we're talking about any one person or a group of people who end up with all the power. They become corrupt. The worst part is that this saying has often been just as true whether the power was obtained by good or bad means. And what that saying really means is actually a lot darker than what we might think. Because power itself is not a thing that holds sway over us. Basically, when we're saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely, what we're really saying is, whether we believe it or not, is that it is human nature to abuse power. That when we end up in a situation where we can gain, we as a species will always try to profit. Will always abuse the power that we have. That's a pretty sad commentary on society, but we keep using it. We keep saying it. We keep believing it. We see someone, perhaps someone who's at first wonderful, well-meaning. They come to power in a country only to hear of his or her downfall shortly after. We accept this sort of thing as an inevitability. And we say, well, absolute power and all that. We as a people recognize that the temptation to use power for our own gain is so great that everyone, no matter who they are, would eventually give in, would be corrupted. Power is such an attractive subject matter that all the readings from the lectionary this week deal with power in one way or another. The first reading is about David, the chosen king of God, and how the power he had went to his head. In the Ephesians reading, Paul talks to us about the power of God. And the gospel tells us about the unreal and compassionate power of Jesus Christ. So that means that these three readings can be broken down into essentially two categories. The first category is what happens when humans make use of the absolute power they have. The second is what happens when God makes use of absolute power, either acting through Christ or through prayer. I hate to tell you, but things don't go very well in category one. In our story about David that we heard just a few moments ago, we see a king who has sent his army off to war while he lounges in his palace. A king would normally go off with the army, but he's chosen to stay behind. He's sent others in his place. During a particularly nice evening, he's strolling on the roof and he notices a wonderful woman bathing, a beautiful woman. So his first abuse of power was sending his army without him. His second, kind of a peeping Tom. Let's be honest, he was on his roof and he was watching women bathe. He asks about this beauty, only to find that she is Bathsheba. She's married. Married to one of his own soldiers named Uriah. But despite the fact that she is married, he commands that she come to the palace and he has his way with her. And she becomes pregnant. It's important to recognize here that Bathsheba is not to blame. The truth is, she didn't have a choice. He was the king. You either did what the king commanded, or you suffered the consequences, and the consequences could probably have been death. All the fault here lies squarely with David, the one with all the power. He abused his position and that power and took advantage of the situation. What's worse here is that he tried to cover it up by attempting to send Uriah home, not once but twice, so that he would accept the pregnancy of his wife as his own. When that didn't work, David abused his power again by commanding his general Joab to put Uriah on the front lines of the worst fighting and to draw back and let him die. So basically, this reading just reaffirms what we think that we know about humanity. When given power, we make a mess of things. Things go quite differently in our second category, which deals with how Christ and God deal with power. In our Ephesians reading, Paul talks about how God can do so much, more than even we can ask or imagine, because of God's awesome power. Through this power, God gives us strength and courage and works to guide us to a relationship with one another and with God that is rooted in love. What an amazing, what a good use of power at God's disposal. In our gospel reading, we have the classic story that we all know so well. This is the story of Christ feeding the 5,000, or the multitude, since 5,000 doesn't include women and children. He saw so many people in need, so many people who were hungry, and rather than send them away, like his disciples were asking, he used his amazing power to feed the people, physically and spiritually, to nourish them body and soul. After the feeding, the people were so amazed by his power that they tried to make him king. With what he could do, with his power, what a wonderful king he could be. He could shape the world as he saw fit. But Christ knew that he was not called, not given his power to rule the world, but to serve it. In both cases, God and Christ used power, that awesome power, to help others, to help the world. But when we see the lack of abuse of power, we often shrug it off and say, "Ah, well, it's God," or "Ah, well, it's Jesus. Of course they wouldn't abuse power." We sell ourselves short because we see God as beyond the desires of humanity, the embodiment of what is good and right, love. And we put Christ on a pedestal because he is the incarnation of God here on earth, beyond temptation, beyond that corruption. But Christ wasn't some God-human hybrid. He existed in the mystery of being both fully human and fully God. That means that he benefited from all the good things that it means to be human, like feeling compassion, empathy, love. But it also means that he inherited our flaws, even the potential to be corrupted, to fall prey to temptation. Just because he never did doesn't mean that he didn't wrestle with it. It just means that in the end, he chose to listen to the voice of the divine that spoke from within him. But, we say, it's the divine part that gives him a pass. When we see a world that is starving, a world that's torn apart by war, desperately in need of one of those miracles, we sell ourselves short because we're broken, because we're sinful, because by nature we are only human. Does that sound right to you? Is that right? No? Then why do we keep saying it? If we're not broken, if we're not sinful, if we are only human, then why do we keep saying absolute power corrupts absolutely? It's an excuse. We're only human. It's a way for us to ignore the responsibilities that we have as stewards, caretakers of this world and its people. If we have within us the potential for so much bad stuff that happens to the world when we serve ourselves, then I believe a greater potential lies within us to do good when we serve one another. I'll admit, as individuals, we are broken people. We're not perfect. But we were made in the image of God, a God who creates, a God who mends. And so we have the power to build one another up so that together, we, this broken people, can be made whole. Yes, watching TV can make us think that we are just a terrible species, driven to defy God, to defy good. But we aren't born that way. Children are born into this world to love and to be loved. That's all they know. In our gospel reading today, the salvation of all the people doesn't come from the disciples, doesn't even really come from Christ in the beginning. Where does the food come from? Where do the 5 loaves and 2 fish come from in our gospel reading? Anybody remember? Ellen, you don't get to answer. You don't get to answer. A boy, a child. A child comes forth to the disciples. 5 loaves, 2 bread. I can help, this child says. Christ took the miracle of that child's generosity and multiplied it that all might find nourishment that day. And sure, Christ feeding the multitude was a miracle, one that we are desperately in need of in this world. But the real miracle isn't that he did it, but that he cared enough to try. That in the face of the impossible, he heard the whisper of the holy within him, calling him to try anyway, to use the power he was given not to rule but to serve. We're only human, right? Well, yeah, that's true. Each one of you is the only human like you. You each have gifts to offer that no one else has. But they are gifts that this world needs. And like the child from the gospel reading today, like Christ himself, there is a still small voice, a holy voice, whispering from within us, calling us to where we might go, inviting us to serve our neighbors. Yes, we are only human. But the Holy Spirit moves in and through us, inspiring within us that deep love, that same deep love for our neighbors that Christ had. It might be a saying that we use all the time, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But it's not true. It's our apathy and our indifference towards one another that is our downfall. Let us love as Christ loved. Let us love as the child in our gospel reading loved. Let us love as God first loved us into being. And with that powerful love, let us work miracles in this world together. Amen. And now, with Christ at our center and God at our side, let us sing together, voices united.